Cup and Saucy Book Club. I'm Jen.
And I'm Zanna.
What's in your cup today, Zanna?
I'm drinking a Queen Elizabeth Black Tea from Everything Tea. What's in your cup?
Well, it's very early morning where I am.
It is.
Because of our guest today. And
it's early for me.
Yeah, it is early for you too. And so I need to have my little extra bit of caffeine. And I received a gift basket with a bunch of teas and biscuits and things from Marks and Spencer, which is a store in the UK. And so this is a black tea, but it didn't have a name. So I'm just going to call it a Marks and Spencer black tea. And it is because of our guests today who are joining us from the UK. And that's the reason why we're up so early. Mr. and Mrs. Black. Mrs. Black is an independent spicy romance author with three titles to her name and a fourth coming out in the spring. And using TikTok to self-promote her books, she also reviews books and audios from the spicy romance genre. When her followers discovered she buddy-read with her husband, Mr. Black, they expressed a keen interest and hashtag Pillow Talk was born, where they read and listen to books and review books together. Mr. and Mrs. Black, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It is so lovely to have you on, and thank you for, you know, straddling the time zones and all the things that we had to do to make this happen. So we very much appreciate that.
We got the lucky draw there, didn't we?
Well, I have to admit first up that I am a fan of Pillow Talk and caught you on my TikTok page, and it was just, I loved the chemistry that the two of you have. Obviously, you have been together for a while, and it shows. And the way that you just sort of read each other.
Obviously.
In the best ways, yes. And the way that you just sort of read each other and can just, you know, it's like a good romance novel. So the banter is wonderful. Is your story of how you met meet cute, is it romance novel material?
Oh, well,
interesting.
It's funny you should mention that because obviously, I mean, I don't know when this is going to come out, but it was recently Valentine's Day.
I wrote a version. Well, not, well, it wasn't a version. It was exactly, it was my thoughts when we first met, and I recorded the audio for it and I sent it to Mrs. Black, so yeah.
So that was my little Valentine gift.
That will not be going on Audible.
No. private message.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
We were actually with other people when we first met. So
not just socially, we were actually going out with other people.
Yeah. So it wasn't like the standard meet cute, but the stars aligned.
It really did,
several months later, and
many years ago now. Yeah, it's a long time ago. Yeah,
we're talking like mid-90s.
Yeah, 30 plus years ago. Yeah.
That was just like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. 1991 was 10 years ago, I'm sure.
Yes. In my soul. Absolutely. And, well, because we appreciate both having husbands who do not read along with us, that you do buddy reads together. And how did that start? So did it start with books? Did it start with audiobooks? Where did that first start?
So it all came about, I guess, because I wanted you to read my book.
Yeah.
Before I sent it off to my editor, I needed someone to read it, and you seemed like the most appropriate person to do that job.
Well, yeah.
And I think you read it in like a day and a half or something. You were so eager to see what I'd been working on. That's I guess how it kind of started. But in the long term, it wasn't until last summer when we were on holiday that I was raving about St. Abbey, and I don't know if we're allowed to say this, but the Mindfuck series.
Sure. We are rated explicit. You can say whatever you'd like.
Open season then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let the fucks fly.
No, holds hard.
Holiday.
Yeah, we did. Mm. We read that series together on holiday, and I mean that series isn't like particularly spicy. It's got, you know, a bit of spice.
Not spicy as your books.
Through it. No, exactly. No. But yeah, that was the start of it.
I think the interesting part of it is the fact that I'd never read anything like this before. And then, so when Mrs. Black gave me her book to read, I'd never read anything like it before. And actually, I think we sort of underestimated the sort of emotional impact it had on me. I had a lot of questions, because it wasn't that we were reading a book somebody else had written. This had come out of my wife's head. Yeah. And I didn't initially know that she was writing it. So I had a lot of questions. And actually, I think you underestimated the impact it was going to have on me. And
yeah.
and so it started a huge dialogue, really. Not all of it good, but, well, not in its first instance, but it eventually ended up being so unbelievably healthy for us.
Yeah, that, I think it did start off being quite negative, didn't it?
It really unnerved me and rocked my foundations, really. Because I was getting an insight.
Is that really what you think? Is that really...
Yeah.
Is that what you want from me, or is this what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and of course they're just characters, but of course I'd never been, you know, when I do my day job, that stuff is completely different. And you know, with the sort of words that I was reading, they came out of my wife's head, who I'd been with for 30 years, and there were all these things that I didn't know, and so it sparked conversations. Some of them were perfectly normal conversations, but some of it was for me particularly really challenging. But as a result of that, it was so incredibly healthy for both of us.
Mm-hmm. And cathartic.
And you couldn't write books quick enough for us to have more conversations about. So you had to start reading other people's books. That's about it, really.
Oh, dear. I think the reason Pillow Talk was born was I was mentioning in my TikTok videos that we were buddy reading and or buddy listening together. And people started to engage with that and comment and say, oh, you know, I wish my husband or my partner would listen or read with me. That's so awesome. And I thought, maybe we need to expand this space and make it more acceptable for couples to read and listen together.
It does bewilder me a bit. I've got to say, I do find it particularly weird that more men don't. Perhaps not read it independently, but buddy read it with their partners. I understand that completely. I don't think I would read these books if we weren't buddy reading them.
No.
Because it's the discussion and the conversations we have about it that is what I get out of the book, if that makes sense. It's 80% of it is our conversations about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the thing we've sort of been focusing on a little bit. I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is, really, because I do read those books and listen to those books. I'm not really sure why other blokes don't.
Right.
It's a bit strange.
You actually had a TikTok video about this, about why you didn't know why other guys weren't doing this and sort of encouraging men to buddy listen and buddy read with their partners. And we appreciate and applaud it as both having husbands who do not. And we've made the attempts, but they support us in other ways.
They're very supportive, but they're...
Yeah,
you know,
they're very supportive, but in different ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, mine builds me a booth and Xana's walks around with our merch on. So,
but that is it, isn't it? It is about support and stuff, and you know, people are into different things. Like, you know, there are things that I like, music that I like that you're not really into, and vice versa. And that's the way it goes, isn't it?
But
yeah,
I think that video you were talking about there, I think there's sort of more of a fundamental cultural thing.
I think there's a lack of willingness from 50% of the population to give it a go. I don't know. I just feel that if they just gave it a chance, they might just find out that they quite enjoy it.
Yeah, and that I think what their relationships would get out of it, I think that's the key. I think if they could see the potential of how much impact it would have on their partners, their partnership with their other halves or whatever, I think it might have a bigger impact on it, really.
Well, I do think that there is a good bit of stigma attached to it, and that's something we've talked about before, is that there's a huge amount of stigma attached to the romance literature space. And honestly, I have that kind of feeling as well. You know, we started this podcast. I'd never really read romance before, wasn't really interested in romance, but decided to give it a go for this podcast. But I still occasionally am like, yeah, but I'm not the one. I try to not do that because I know better now. But occasionally when I'm trying to explain what we do on the podcast, I'm like, I'm not the romance reader.
Yes.
I read other stuff. But there is a stigma, especially, and like my husband will sort of make fun of the books sometimes, and I'm like, you probably should read them before you make fun of them and that kind of thing. But
exactly.
So Zana, what is it about them then that you're kind of, you know, that keeps you, hold you back?
Well, nothing now. I mean, now I understand that there's great writing in the romance genre. There's also not great writing in the romance genre, but that's also true for any genre or even non-genre fiction, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that is considered to be classic that's actually not great. my parents were both English professors, and so I get my stigma primarily from them, who are
right.
like, mm-hmm. It's not literature. I'm like, but it is literature, and
it's
of course they're not around to have the conversation anymore. But that is something that I kind of hold over from my childhood, I think. Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense, yeah.
Whereas I have been a lifelong romance reader, and so am used to, at this point, defending it at every turn. I have had to defend it my entire life, so I'm used to it at this point. And so I think actually that I don't hear the objections so much, because it's all sort of the noise of every other criticism that I've ever heard. So if there is a particular objection to a particular book, it all just kind of gets mashed in together with it.
Yeah.
But I think that if you can find a way to start out for a couple to, you know, buddy read together, start with what the husbands are reading normally. So, you know, my husband is a sci-fi and fantasy reader, and so I have been trying to find those
romantic,
you know, romantic versions of that. And I have yet to convince him, but I'm getting there. So,
or finding something that is relatable to what they do. You found that, didn't you?
Yeah, the rock star romance stuff. Not that I'm a rock star, but that's my world. But you know, that stuff's really relatable.
Yeah, or just normal, like people with normal jobs, rather than this sort of like inflated mafia don. Like,
what do you do for a living? I'm a well-paid billionaire.
Yeah.
Right, that's really... I'm
a really hot, fit, well-paid billionaire.
Yeah, that's right. A well-paid billionaire. Brilliant. Underpaid billionaire is a genre that needs to be, you know... But
That needs to be a thing, actually.
It needs to be a thing, yeah. Poverty-stricken billionaires. But I think that concept of it is shifting a little bit, perhaps. You were talking to me about the kind of idea of some of the FMC's characteristics are shifting, because I've always had this feeling that essentially, because they're written for a predominantly female audience, that the FMC is a projection. So the MC loves me just the way I am, and yet they're the stereotype or the kind of caricature of a man. But that seems to be shifting a little bit in terms of the FMC's characteristics are starting to become a little bit more, not generic isn't the right word, but real world. You know, my hope would be that the MCs would go that way. And the books I like particularly are the ones where the MCs are, you know, much more relatable. I mean, they always end up being something like an FBI agent or a musician or something like that. But you know, they're not billionaires, and then they haven't got this thing that's completely unachievable. They're a little bit more realistic. And I think that's maybe another barrier for sort of guys to read the books. However, you know, when you say that, then you look at the books they are reading, and they're reading action books about muscle bound, you know, superhero guys. So what's the problem? Like, why do you have a problem with the MC of that book if you're basically reading a book about just the MC of a romance book?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's love, isn't it, that's the issue?
Yeah, maybe it's just
intimacy. It's not just the sex. It's the thing is with the spicy books, it's not just about the physical action. It's not the porn. It's the intimacy. I think that might be one of the things that's one of the biggest holdups on it, is that, you know, I'm good with porn, but I don't want to be intimate.
Right, exactly.
And the communication part of it. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we've literally said this recently, haven't we? We said, you know, if guys are into action movies, and if action movies and pornography is okay, then the only missing element with a romance book is the love and intimacy bit of it, and that's the It's got to be the hang up, hasn't it? And let's be completely honest. If that is where the hang up lies, then it's really important that we try and work out why it's a problem. Because if they're not willing to read about it in a book, then what's going on?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a very vulnerable space, you know. I mean, you're basically opening yourself up to, wait a second, do I have to consider my own feelings about this? Yeah.
Right. I think that's what you probably went through when you read Everything Else Is Hearsay.
I did. You're right. But because of my day job, if you like, emotions and creative processes of getting those emotions out have been a part of, I'm not somebody who represses any of those things because it's my day job to explore those and be creative with them. So I guess maybe I've been lucky that, you know, I've had that sort of access to it. But yeah, that was it, wasn't it? When I read your first book. And then the second book, in fact, there was sort of a conversation about something in there that I wasn't really happy about, wasn't there? That really sort of like made me extremely...
I had to change the plot slightly.
Yeah, because I couldn't handle it. I literally couldn't handle that being there. And it sparked a huge conversation and one that spanned months, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm just prepared to have that conversation with you because it's valuable and it's an important thing for us to do, I think. But maybe it's just a bit scary for other people to do that. And I get that. I do get that. Don't upset the apple cart, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because it was in
funny
a way...
actually, I'm talking about that particular point. Victoria, my editor, was like, oh, I really thought he was going to do this, that and the other. And I was like, yeah, had to take that out.
Sorry,
it's not going to go in.
Not sorry at all about that. I'm sorry. I don't have many hard limits, but that was definitely one.
Yeah.
We always need to know our limits, though. And in a way, it's a sort of form of couples therapy, if you will, for you.
Really,
I mean, that you got to explore it in this way, and while you, Mrs. Black, were writing your books. And and it's actually, so you have three books and they're a series. So it's all the same couple throughout each of the three. And Everything Else Is Hearsay, My Girl Next Door, and It's Yesterday's News.
Yeah.
It's a rock star romance, but it's the FMC is very much, she's a single mom. She is just trying to live her life. And this person enters her life and changes everything. You had written these books and you've talked about this before, so mind bringing this up, but you had started write these books in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little, are you comfortable telling us a little bit about how that
Absolutely.
Came about?
Yeah. I mean, we all know what happened in 2020. But it was a little bit more interesting for us because...
Xana was in that little box she's in right now in 2020.
Well, yeah, it was a little bit more interesting for us because literally during lockdown, the first lockdown, we discovered that I had breast cancer.
Oh.
So we literally went through, I had a lumpectomy, radio, chemo, all through lockdown, didn't we?
That too. Yeah.
So, you know, and everyone was like, oh my God, that must have been awful. I mean, I'm a sort of half...
You're optimistic.
I am an optimistic person. And I was just like, well, no, actually, it was probably the best time to get it because I had zero FOMO.
Didn't have to cancel any holidays, parties,
weddings.
Everyone was shielding, so you know, everyone was shielding, weren't they? So you were completely healthy, and
absolutely.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was the best time to get it. I'm saying if you're gonna, that's the time to do it. But
yeah, absolutely. So
it was horrible, but yeah, my God,
But I mean, it's horrible for everybody, isn't it? But So and it was basically off the back of that during my recovery from chemo, which I was naive enough to think that I'd be all right after a couple of weeks.
That's not how chemo works.
No, that's not how chemo works.
But yeah, I started reading And I hadn't really read in earnest since school, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But it was a way of passing the time when my body was giving up, but my brain was still active. And I just massively got into romance. And I'm not really quite sure why I chose that genre. I think I just picked up a book and absolutely loved it and just went from there.
Do you remember which one it was?
Do you know, I can't. And it's probably because my brain was so foggy at the
time.
Yeah,
brain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. I couldn't remember at all.
Chemo brain is a real thing. I've had close family members who've gone
through
this.
I still get it now, I think. maybe that's the menopause. I'm not really sure.
that's a whole other
tomato
conversation.
I mean, really, it could be either one. Well, I think the thing about romance that's great, especially when your brain is not doing its best, is that you know you're going to get a happy ending, and you know you're not going to be sad at the end. That's something that romance at least gives you, is that there's the unwritten rule that romance has to leave you with being happy.
Yeah, that's very true. That actually, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Maybe I just needed a little bit of joy in my life.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
honestly, even without the cancer and the chemo, during that time, everybody needed a little bit more joy in their life.
Yeah. Exactly.
We had to grab our happy where we could get it, you know?
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, when you started then writing your books and Mr. Black going through your manuscripts and the conversation that then started, so after that, when you were deciding to do Pillow Talk and take that on, was it just reading eyeball reading the books first, or was it audiobooks right from the get-go?
So we have two very energetic dogs. And it's my job most of the time to walk them.
They're your dogs.
They're my dogs.
of course,
the truth comes out.
And I mean, my day job is I work from home, so it's a good way of getting me out in the fresh air every day. And I just started listening really during the dog walks. Mm. So it wasn't something that we did together.
No, we did read quite a few books together first before even thinking about audio. I don't know why did it take us so long?
I don't know, but I was listening solely for quite a while. What was the first audiobook we listened to together?
That's a good question. So it was Sinner, and you said I should listen to it. So I did. I got it on Audible, and that was when I realised that it wasn't about me listening to it on my own, because you'd listened to it and told me to listen to it, and I didn't enjoy listening to it on my own.
No.
And I think, so I listened to a few chapters of it. It's great. I'd love to listen to it with you, but on my own, that's, you know, I'm not really, it doesn't really do anything for me. So, yeah, so that was the first one that we sort of started to listen to. But yeah, it wasn't one that we sort of did as a buddy listen.
No.
So how do you do the buddy listen? Do you like, you just have the book while you're doing things around the house?
Mainly, yeah. I mean, it's a bit difficult because we've got young children, so we have to time it a little bit. But we have just...
Steamy scene comes up. Okay, kids, time to go outside.
Pause. But we were only saying the other day that it's weird that nobody's sort of come up with a wire or a Bluetooth.
You can only attach one pair of headphones to a phone. When we go for dog walks and stuff, we have to have one ear piece each. Which it's all right, but it would be helpful, wouldn't it? But yeah, we listen to it like that. We listen to it at home, and because I work from home sometimes as well. So yeah, when we're cooking or in the car, anywhere really. As long as we can hear the kids merrily playing, you know, around somewhere, it's like, yeah, we can risk it. But... depends on the story, doesn't
Mommy,
it?
I mean, Daddy, some of them what are you listening like, to? Yeah.
I mean, some of them that would just be like absolute no-goes as out loud listening, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? But some books, like we've just finished listening to Lies in the Dark.
Scene from Butcher and Blackbird,
yes.
What is going on?
Probably not going to...
I will say pretty much... pretty much all of Little Stranger is going to have to be in your earbuds.
Not to put
only.
Your kids on a diet.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. But it's quite a short. It's quite a short listen, isn't it? I think.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll plow through that.
Yeah.
But
we have just we finished an epic, haven't we?
We have. Yeah. We need something a bit shorter.
Yeah.
Now.
16, 18 hours or something. Of, yeah.
Lies in the Dark by Nicole Fanning.
Oh, and, that's
fabulous.
It was really, you really, really enjoyed it.
I loved it,
Not that I didn't, I did too.
No,
but
she's great. Yeah. We're about to do a review of it actually, aren't we?
So, yeah, we are. That's our next job.
Yeah, but it was just great. So, yeah, but that was pretty long and detailed. So we need something a little shorter.
Yeah. A little palate cleanser.
And a little moose boosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Do you go to particular, you know, do you tend toward particular subgenres? Is there a particular favorite? Do you like the darker stuff? Do you like the rom-coms, small towns?
Yeah, all those.
I don't think we've read enough or listened to enough to actually make that decision yet.
We do tend to like the darker stuff. But you know, once you've listened to a darker one or read a darker one, you kind of want something a bit lighter. So, you know, we swing from one thing to another. And
we also ask the viewers on TikTok for recommendations. So if we really liked something, like we read With Force by Daisy Jane not so long ago, and we were in fits of laughter all the way through it, and reading bits out to each other and laughing. And
we would never have read that if it hadn't been for a recommendation. If I'd have read the synopsis of that, I'd have just been like, absolutely no chance. So we took a chance on it.
Or interestingly, the cover probably wouldn't have appealed to me had we not had a recommendation for it.
And there was like a military one the other day, wasn't there? We were like, we'll give it a go. Like, you know, how do you know otherwise? Like, you know, it could be great. It's all about, often the trope is almost irrelevant sometimes. It's the relationship between the two people, the people of the story, aren't they? So.
Absolutely, yeah, and the character building and all of that kind of.
Kind of stuff. I don't know. We've sort of tried a few different things, haven't we? Really, and we haven't really found anything that's like it has to be this. It has to be this. There's no like tick box of like, you know. We sort of tried a bit of anything really if it takes our fancy. We've got hockey romance next after.
We have.
Puckshy. Yeah, I've never. That's a new one. You've listened to a few. I've not. Now.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have
my first hockey romance to read.
Okay.
Okay. As folks in the UK, I have to ask, because this is something that I've always wanted to see. Why aren't there enough football, soccer romances? I have to
Good
call
question.
It for the Americans. Yeah.
Because probably women want to get away from that because it's so. Genuinely. A lot of people, it takes over their lives. Like a friend of ours, if his team loses, like he's in a foul
like a
mood
dark
in the
cloud
house.
In the family. I think the English are so wrapped up in football. You know, if you're a football fan and you support a team, like nothing else matters.
And it's generational, isn't it? Like sometimes,
it is, I think if spicy romance books had been as popular as they are now 20 years ago when Beckham was at the absolute height, it may have been a different thing because I don't know if how popular it is in the States. The Netflix documentary on the Beckhams is amazing to watch because you forget, you know, 20 plus years. Yeah, there we are. Talking about the 90s as if it's 20 years ago again. But you kind
I'm
of forget
I'm there with you,
that,
Mr. Black. I'm there.
Yeah. absolutely. But you forget how they seeped into popular culture. And I think I think you could have done it then. But I think now it's become so divisive in the UK and it's so tribal and it's such a man's domain that I think it's probably, it's not escapist enough.
No, and I mean, even with the kids, you know, they both play football and they had an opportunity to go to a local match at the stadium in the nearest city to us. And we've sort of had to prime them and say that, you know, the atmosphere can get a little bit tetchy and edgy, but it's okay, you'll be safe, you'll be with the rest of your team. And
well, interestingly enough, the first game that they went to was a women's football match, and I never had that conversation with them about
it.
But then they've booked to go to see the men play, and we were like, we sat them down and said, look, it's not the same.
There could be violence.
It's not. I've never liked the atmosphere.
I just don't think that players are sort of sensationalised in the same way in the UK as, say, hockey players. And
well, there's a lot of negative press around a lot of the soccer players as well over here. So, when they hit the news these days, it's always for negative reasons. So I think it's that. And I don't know what the hockey culture is like in the States and Canada. Is it similar?
It's a different...
No.
No, it's not actually...
So there's not much interest in hockey. I mean, there is interest in hockey, but I think what makes hockey romance so appealing is that it's not, like you said, like soccer is a whole or football is a whole culture. Just like there is some American football romance, but it's not as like, it doesn't blow up as much as hockey, because
what about baseball romance? Is that even a thing?
There is some, but it's not the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It's sort of hockey is this, like, it's sexy because it's close to figure skating, but it's not quite, you know, and it's like,
yeah, so it's I'm gonna disagree with you, Dan.
Okay, so the cutting edge effect, right? So the cutting edge from the early 90s where a hockey guy becomes a figure skater and there's a romance thing. And so there's a gracefulness about hockey is what I'm saying.
But tell me, is it true that...
But it's also violent.
Right, okay. But is it true that, you know, fights break out ice between players and stuff?
All the time.
Okay, because I mean...
That's why you watch hockey.
If that was something that happened in football, they'd lose their jobs. That would be, you know, it's kind of in their contract.
It's part of it, any fights or anything like that.
You're out.
I have to confess to being a very bad skater. So I played hockey for a very short amount of time before we moved to this end of the country, and they put me in goal. That's how bad I was, and I've never. It was bad.
The hockey sticks are so phallic. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
True.
So maybe you need to write a badminton romance.
Well, I mean, you know, because the cocks are implied.
Oh, absolutely, shuttlecock.
Yes,
I know you've been laughing with all the puck.
Puck gags.
Oh my god. Hockey does lend itself well to puns.
Zanna started out her love of romance with the puns.
I'm in it for the puns.
Yeah.
For the punny titles.
That's where we got her.
Yeah. Genius. Yeah.
I think
English professor parents puns are my
puns are
ball has the same, you know.
Golden balls. Yep. Back to Beckham.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think with hockey there's a bit of a mystique around it because it's not as popular and in the States as American football or baseball. And so, you know, Canadians, it's like it's a part of their culture, you've got hockey teams and it's very loyalist in, you know, the same way that football is in the UK. But there's also these other things like the superstitions and the fact that they all dress up in suits on game days. This is like a hockey tradition that goes back, I don't know how long, but they all dress up in suits. And it's like, huh, okay, so this is just eye candy. I think that this is why hockey romances are as popular as they are, is because of the eye candy.
Yeah. Is the money good in it as well? Is there some decent
not
money
as,
in
not
it?
Not as good as baseball and football. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But they're tough and they're fit and they wear suits. And it ticks loads of boxes. Yeah. And it goes back to what we said right at the very beginning about these kind of like the caricature of the male kind of, the MC is always a bit of a caricature and they tick all the boxes, right?
Or what messages up on the board and stuff
announcements, and that's romantic.
What's your job? I'm a hot hockey player.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so getting that on a business
card. With a puck.
Yeah. Pucking, pucking hot hockey player.
A pucking hot hockey player.
Yes. Well, I think, and there are, Kayla Gross, who wrote Puck Shy, is very much about body positivity. And mm-hmm. one of the things, too, I think that is a possible objection that many guys would have to reading these is that, okay, yes, the female main characters will come in all shapes and sizes. The guys are always 8-packs, cut, well endowed, yep. you know. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see, and Kayla is one of those, that are bringing real looking guys into this, you know, and it's about time, you know.
It's
equal for everyone, because if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then that mm-hmm. means that what women are seeing, husband-wise.
And I wonder whether, you know, that might become a bit of a split in the sort of broader genre, because, you know, I know a lot of women would want to read it because of the eye candy element of it and the fact that they are these, and I get that, I totally get that. But if mm-hmm. you're trying to encourage more guys into the space to read it or buddy read it, then you have to have that same, not blank canvas as the FMCs get, but that same ability to kind of go, they're just like me.
Far more relatable, yeah.
Yeah, relatable.
And I think that's what authors have challenged more, you know, over the last decade, is not to have the stick thin, blonde, big boobed, you know, model-esque FMC in every single book. That's been, you know, fabulous for the average girl looking to relate to something. So yeah, it definitely needs to pass over to the MC now, for sure.
I think that's why some of the sort of college romance music-based ones are a little bit more accessible, I think, because those guys are obviously at the start of their lives and, you know, they're not billionaires.
Before they're famous.
Yeah, before they're famous and all that kind of stuff. So, like, the words
like
and
Punk 57,
all that kind of stuff. They've been some of my favourite books because I read those and just go, well, that actually kind of sounds like I was. Let's be truthful, 30 years ago. I was going to say 10 years ago again, but, you know, I kind of look at that and I kind of go, you know, I was in bands like that, playing in basements, and I've got found a picture, 30-year-old picture of me rehearsing in a basement the other day, and I was like, that literally is like a scene from Punk 57, you know? So, I think that is it. It's relatability, isn't it? And it's if it's going to be the preserve of a female audience, then it has to be written for a female audience. But if it's going to attract male audience, then it needs to be adjusted a bit. But that's up to the writers and the audience to decide, right? So
And I see, you know, on socials, people are crying out for books like that. They're mm-hmm. they're saying, oh, you know, I want to read a book that is that I can see my man as mm-hmm. being the MC.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a good box to tick.
Yeah.
From a writer's perspective.
There's room for all of it.
Yeah. I think that the independent authors like you are going to be the ones that lead the way.
Because,
I agree.
Yeah, because they have opened up so many conversations about other topics that would have been never written about, you know, 30, 40 years ago when I started reading romance. Those things are, you know, it was always, it's a doctor and a nurse and it's, you know, and they always look the same and they're always doing, and none of that. And so many characters that are flawed, that have a bit of darkness in them, or just mm-hmm. are just trying to fix themselves. I recently finished Kid by uh-huh. Jesse Hall, mm-hmm. and that one, I mean, both of the characters are broken. They're both drug addicts, you know, so they start off broken. They're kind of broken at the end of it. But it's a beautiful thing to watch because everybody deserves a love story. That's what we
That's
always say on this
show. Except for genocidal maniacs.
Yes.
Yeah, draw the line at that, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't read Kid yet. We haven't listened to it, but we kind of want to listen to it.
We listened to that Sick Love first, and then we went back and listened to Hawk. But I would like to listen to...
No, we did it the other way around. It was Hawk first.
Hawk first.
Yeah. Anyway, that Sick Love, you re-listened to it. I listened to it for the first time. But yeah, you couldn't imagine them, like Mills and Boone, putting that Sick Love out.
No.
Mm-mm. So times have changed, yeah. And I love those dark stories. I could, I forget the name of the MC in That Sick Love.
Oh, in That Sick Love, that's Arrow Westwood.
Arrow,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what a character. How well do you have to write to like somebody like that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to make that also with Little Stranger. That is another mm-hmm. character that is would be otherwise considered unlovable.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Enjoy that journey because it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to make. Lee Rivers, who wrote Little Stranger, I know had a hard sell.
Okay,
she knows
wow.
She did.
Wow.
Because your series is only available in book form. Have you thought about doing audiobooks, especially after all these?
Oh my God,
these...
I think about doing audio every day. But it's a cash flow situation, isn't it?
Yeah, and sure.
And I wouldn't want to do it half-heartedly. I'd want to do it, you know, I want to be able to choose my narrators. And yeah, I just... It's a dream of mine, isn't it? Really?
It is, but we have sort of spoken about maybe writing a novella or two, you know, at some point and doing that first just to get to dip your toe in the water and, you know...
I think my series would lend itself quite well because it's very scripty.
Yes.
There's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. So it would, but that also means more hours.
Right.
Oh, dear. But yeah, I'd love to. I really would.
Oh, well, we're going to put that out into the air and we'll see, you know, into the ether and make that happen. I just want to thank you both so much for being on the show today.
Yeah.
This has been such a fun, like, I looked up at the time and I was like, oh, wait, we have to, we have to kind of wrap this up now.
Oh, I know.
We definitely didn't want to. And so thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Black, for being on the show today.
Thanks very much for asking. Yeah, inviting us.
Links to the Pillow Talk TikTok, as well as Rebecca Black's books, will be on the show notes page on our website, cupandsaucybooks.com.
You can also follow us on social media at Cup and Saucy Books. We are on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what you hear, review and subscribe to the show on your favorite pod platform.
Thank you for joining us for the Cup and Saucy Book Club. Join us next time for more great conversations from the world of books.
And likely tangents.
Happy reading.
Cheers.